So when we get outside, you know, we'll find somewhere to sit, you know, away from, you know, not making it like we're shifty and hiding, but, you know, away from, I'm right. sure people are walking by or whatever. So I'll just say, you know, the reason I want us to look in that direction is Marla has something, has a job to bring something back to her. Now, I don't know if this is an official quote unquote job, but it's something that she needs delivered back to her. And I'll take out the coin and just say, you know, she was the one that gave me this, that helped us get under the bridge to rest. So I kind of owe her for that. And she might have a bit more information if we do this for her. So we'll do, if we can do our normal run to that general area, she's given me all the info of what she needs. And I'll pull up that file and start reading it or start looking at it with them. Right. I'll mm-hmm. bump it to them so they can see it too. And we can start going through that.
I don't look at the file, but when he says like the name of the place, can I find, there may not be a job that goes that way, but can I find something that, can I make a roll to see if there's a job that goes in the direction that Smokey wants to go?
Sure, yeah. Go ahead and give me a brains roll.
All right. Am I at full brains at this point?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you're good.
My highest is a 4.
Nice. Okay, so there are no official jobs going to, as I flipped through, okay, I forgot the name of the plane. Something to Zane. So there are no official jobs going to a Zane right now. However, you know, your reach right here only is through the organization. And I'll say with a 4, you know, you do have, while you don't have direct connection to it right in here, you know, there are also other sources that you could look at. Sometimes there are tradesmen that need jobs done. More of a reliable source, though, is the Knoll itself. Sometimes the governing body or officials within the Knoll do have jobs separate from the organization to go through.
So that's a question. And, I'm trying to formulate the question. Yeah, that's the question, right? Leave it at that. You know, what's the protocol, right? What kind of jobs can we take? You know, obviously for the organization, they have jobs, but, you know, mm-hmm. do we have to do a job every, you know, is there like a, we have to do so many per quarter, or, you know, are we allowed to do not freelance, but can we do mm-hmm. stuff that's not the organization's job if it's for a merchant?
Yeah, you absolutely
whatever.
Can.
Okay. So yeah, there isn't any kind of.
So there are no regulations per se, you know. You do work, you are official runners, you are licensed, you work through the organization. Mm. You effectively owe them your suits, but, you know, it's more so like you took out a loan to buy the suit. Okay. It's just that you took out the loan from the organization and then also bought the suit from the organization. Kind of a scam, but not really. It's like, and so, yeah. So it's like taking out, you know, store credit and then mm-hmm. purchasing something in the store. So you owe that money back to them.
Yeah.
But that suit for now is yours.
Okay.
And so, you know, with you owning that, you can take side jobs. You can work for anybody that you like. If you do disreputable work and get caught doing it and the organization doesn't like it, at that point, they can revoke your license.
Yeah.
And obviously, you don't gain, you know, rank and reputation through the organization by doing jobs outside of it. Okay. But you'll still get paid, hopefully.
Okay. And so. And that's kind of, that was the vibe I was picking up. I just wanted to make sure that obviously if we go on the black market and do a whole bunch of dodgy stuff, that's probably not good. But we're not.
Yeah.
We don't have to do.
It's fine as long as you don't get caught.
And I'm sure there's a lot of that going on, right?
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't have said that out loud, right? Because I just wanted to make sure if. So here's Smokey's thought. So, Smokey will say, if there isn't anything from the organization, we can see if there's anything else on offer. I don't know if we want to make it. I don't know if we want to take on too much, bite off too much. But I don't mind seeing if there's anything that would pay us to go out and help us come back. And the reason I say help us come back is I saw a couple people in the bar last night that had those same kind of marks on their their arms or shoulders, right?
Their sleeve, yeah.
On their sleeve, yeah. As the two on our previous run. So I'm not super happy that we don't know more about that, considering, they came at us on the last run. So I think if we can help Marla out with this, we'll probably get a bit more information from her about who these people are. And I think Zuchi said he knew a name of one from before, or was that just one of the guys in the under the bridge? I couldn't remember if it was one of those two or if it was just someone else. We saw a couple other people with those marks, and I think Zuchi knew the name of one of them.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that was, he knew the name of the guy that you, one of the guys that you killed. Yeah.
Yeah. Jansen Wells. So
yep.
I'm thinking if we go help Marla out with this, which would, in all honesty, guys, it would help me out a bit because we owe Marla for the coin. If we bring that name, that Jansen name to her, we may be able to get some more info about the two people I saw in the bar last night.
When you mentioned the you saw guys with the patches, like Huxley looks uncomfortable. Like he looks around to see, if there's someone around us.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just gonna say he's visibly upset. He's not like shaking or anything, but he's looks like scared, essentially.
Yeah. And Smoke, you'll say, that's why I want to get more information. Now, I don't like us being ambushed out on a run. And if there's, we needed to get some more information. Zuchi knows a name of one of them, but I would really like to know what the hell they're about and what the hell they were doing when we saw them out there.
They don't stay in the barracks, right?
I don't think we saw any of them, did we? I didn't.
Can we roll?
I mean, if you take a quick look around. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Kurt.
I was just wondering, can we roll like a brains for that if we've seen anybody that's been there?
Absolutely. Yeah. Go ahead and give me a brains roll.
Okay. I assume they're loud and proud kind of thing. So, like, if they are there, you would know that they were there.
Great. Ooh, 2 sixes, baby.
Whoa, nice. Yeah. So I'll, you have in fact seen them around in the building. They come, and you have no idea how large their numbers are. But you've seen probably at least 6 or 7 of them that wear these, this patch. And they definitely come into the building. Obviously they get jobs. Sometimes that you see them at the, in the rec room or in the cafeteria, but the one thing that you never see is any of them in the barracks, and you never see any of them in the armory where a lot of you keep your suits.
Have any of them ever caused trouble that we remember?
Not inside the armor, not inside the building. Like John said, like they're kind of
they're proud boys.
A very self-assured group of people. And so they like to kind of show off and flaunt. So every once in a while, you know, you've heard about them getting into fights in bars and things like that. But nothing too extreme.
They have truck nuts on their suits.
Yeah.
So are they?
But yeah, I mean, they have good tech, and they like to flaunt the more dangerous runs that they've done and things like that. So they're definitely a verbose group.
Are they part of the organization then, or?
Yes. Yeah. They're all licensed runners.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Now, yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So Zuchi's like, well, you know, I wonder, and I think we might have to be careful here now. I wonder if that visitation from your bartender friend with those other two, if it has something to do with us.
That's why I wanted to try to get a bit more information about who and what we're dealing with. If this is just, you know, some kind of, you know, stepped up group of licensed runners, you know, I definitely want to know what they're about and how we ended up being about what they're about on the last run.
But why would she do that, Mr. Smokey? She gave you the coin.
Why would she do?
Why do you, I mean, Mr. Zuchi says that maybe she's told them to come after us, but she helped you. So why would she send them to come and get us?
That actually was not what I was saying. Actually, sorry, Huxley. What I was meaning was that they were asking her about us, about because we did what we did to them. So I'm wondering if they're trying to find out about us.
Oh, okay. I didn't understand.
Yeah, well, and from the description that Smokey is saying, it doesn't seem like though that group is a very good group. So I think we're going to have to really tread lightly whether we're in here, and he points to the bear, you know, the area or whatever, or outside of it.
I mean, I don't want any trouble with anybody. I mean, there's not as many people as there used to be. Why would they want to do something like that?
I think from the way Marla looked when they walked in and the type of business she's in, you know, you gotta be friends with everybody, right? And everybody's gotta be friends with you. If you get kicked out of the bar, there's not too many other bars to go to. And she would be a good source of information. So I think to both of your points, whether she's telling them about us or if she can tell us a bit about them, you know, it would definitely be worth finding out. And to Huxley's point, you know, she did help us out with the coin. And I think from what she was saying about this job that she needs, it's a bit time critical, not super time critical, but I think she would feel much better the sooner it gets done. So I'm going to walk on wood, right? Well, I don't think she'd send us out to an ambush for something she really needs, right?
Well, now I have another thought now. I almost wonder if them two were looking for the thing that she was looking for. Maybe she was doing the job for them and she didn't have it. So maybe if we do this job, maybe that will keep her safe.
Then we've got a bit of collateral to use to pry out some more information and find out why the hell they were out there trying to get us last time.
Yeah. So I feel like as much as I want to do another official run, I feel like this is something. And as long as you're vetted and you think as long as you vetted her, Smokey, and you think that she's in trouble and that we need to help. I mean, why wouldn't we?
I think this comes back to my point of biting off more than we can chew. Do we want to try to double up on jobs, or do we just want to take care of this and get it out of the way so it's our main focus?
Well, I'd say after that last little ditty that we got into, I feel like putting too much on our plate is probably not a great idea. What do you think, Hux?
I don't know. I mean, if we have to go, if there's something that somebody needs taken, I mean, we're going to go anyway.
Well, let's see if we can find something that's doesn't weigh us down or is not too bulky, right? Maybe if there's some paperwork that needs to be delivered, let's see if we can find something nice and easy to take up. I don't know if I want to be hauling coal up again if we've got to keep our eyes peeled.
I mean, I can ask Miss Joanna if she knows if they need any medical supplies or anything. We could take that.
Smokey will hold up his hand and just say, maybe let's not loop Miss Joanna yet into this yet. A, she might not be too happy. And B, if it is something that we need to keep our eyes out for, I don't think we want to get Miss Joanna involved in it. I don't think we want her to get roped into whatever we're looking at.
I agree. She don't quite like us none in the first place.
I think she likes us well enough, but I think she's just...
Oh, that's what you think from all that? From that little thing you have right over here on the side of your face? You think she really likes you? Mm. I guess your definition of like is different from mine.
I'm not going to take it personally because I know where that thought was coming from and where her feelings were coming from. So she may not be too happy that Huxley's hanging out with the two of us. But as we said, we made it back last time and a little bit worse for wear on Huxley's part, but we did make it back. So
yeah, I think next time we explain how we came back from something, I will explain it to her and not you, because the way you explain it seems very much not, it doesn't really warm my heart, so I'm sure it wouldn't really warm hers.
So Smokey throws his arms on, go be my guest.
Huxley's he'll kinda confused.
He'll kind of... You weren't there for that then? Was Huxley there for that?
When you got slapped? No, he was in the bed. He was in the room. You guys were coming in to see me.
And when I say that to Zucchi, I'll give Huxley a bit of a poke. And I'll just say, Miss Joanna wasn't very happy with me that you came back with your bell rung. So, but we did tell her, well, we kept an eye, all of us kept an eye on each other, and we made it back, and I think that's just what she was worried about the most.
She did say that you guys were lucky that I was there.
We were lucky you were there, and all that luck rubs off on each of us. So,
do you think that those people might come after us again, or not the other ones, but the ones that you saw?
I have no idea. That's why I think, to Zucchi's point, maybe we just focus on just doing this one thing. If we can't find anything that's just a, like a USB drive to deliver, if we can't find anything that's like that, maybe we just focus on this one. But, as I said before, it's a democracy. So there's three of us. We'll definitely get a vote one way or the other.
At a character, I'm just trying to debate whether or not Huxley would suggest practicing with the firearms a little bit. Like we've been in downtime so we could spend XP. I looked at the skill list of stuff and I just feel like he's not competent or inclined to possess almost any skill on the list. Yeah. But he was very proficient at shooting, whether or not that's an innate ability, it seems. But I don't know that he would suggest that, because I don't know that he's necessarily comfortable with that.
Well, all right. Can I give you some devil's advocacy here?
Sure.
So perhaps he may look to practice with firearms more, so that the next time he has more control with it and he doesn't land a headshot by accident.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. I mean, that does make sense, right? Like, if I shoot him in the knee and disable him, then we can get away.
Right.
Kind of thing.
Or even, like, I can shoot, maybe, like, I can hurt the suit without hurting the person inside, so it at least gives us time to get away. Right.
Which ultimately may kill them anyway, but
Well, maybe, but less likely than a bullet to the head.
Right. All right, if you think so.
Just something to consider. That's all. That's, yeah.
Well, because I don't know what to spend XP on, right? Because, like, survival doesn't make sense. Stealth doesn't make sense. You know, things that would be useful for what we're doing don't make sense. He's not insightful, right? Like,
yeah.
But, like, that's practical.
Yeah.
And I feel like, mechanically, I feel like it makes sense.
I think mechanically and character wise, it makes sense.
And I think if we want to do it if we want to do it narratively, then, you know, if Huxley does mention that and he's a bit wishy-washy about, you know, it might be good if we, you know, practice actually hitting a target on purpose instead of by accident kind of thing. I think Smokey will say, you know,
well, here, let's do it then. Back up. So Huxley sighs and he says, you know, I don't want to hurt anybody. But if you think that they might, if they might still be there, or if somebody might, you know, want to hurt us, you know, we've all got to stick together. Cause, you know, Miss Joanna said, make sure to come home. So, I mean, maybe should we, do you want me to practice with the pistol? Maybe. I mean, I feel really bad about that the one guy, but I told him, I said, don't shoot. And he shot, and it scared me. And I didn't mean for that to happen.
I think that is a good idea. And I think I could probably do with a bit of, you know, practice myself. But I guess the big thing you have to remember, Huxley, is maybe the best defense is a good offense. So maybe if you're the one calling, I was going to say calling the shots, but that's the right thing. If you're the one that's, I guess I would say calling the shots and kind of shrug and say, sorry, but yeah, we were put in a situation that we had to react. And if you would feel more comfortable having a bit more practice being the ones making other people react, then I'm with you. Remember, the most important thing out there isn't necessarily the run or getting the stuff delivered or finishing a job, which is important, but we want to come back, right? I've done so many other jobs in my life. If I come back and get my license yanked, but I'm still alive, then I would say that's a good trade-off.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably right. Maybe it'll just scare them away, right? I mean, I could shoot their feet or over their heads, and just to make them go away.
And if that doesn't work, I can make loud noises and stuff falling from the sky after it blows up. So anything, as I said, anything that gets us back in one piece, I would say I would count that as a victory. So anything we can do to make sure we can get back, then I think is worth giving a try.
Okay.
And let's make it a bit of a contest. Whoever gets the most, I was going to say most, whoever hits the target the most has the other two buy him dinner and drinks tonight.
Oh, okay. There's probably some scrap metal over by the armory we could set up.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some kind of targeting practice-y range, right? Or if not, we can make our own. Whatever you're more comfortable with. You want to go out and do it by ourselves, or do you want to have people around us when we're doing it?
Whatever you think.
Let's do this as a bonding session between the three of us. Let's just go off somewhere and shoot cans off a fence or something.
Hillbilly music playing in the background.
Exactly. And just do the three of us being hillbillies and shooting stuff out in the woods. I don't know if Zuchi, do you have a pistol or anything?
No, this is going to be fun. I don't know if you remember, but I'm more a hand-to-hand combat kind of guy. I don't, guns and stuff like that, I don't really work well for me. But you know what? I'm just fine just buying you guys all dinner because I love you guys.
So there's a shot of Huxley hitting the can, Smokey hitting the can, and then Zuchi just running down and then punching the can and then running back to where we are.
I think maybe we did a good did make a good choice by just being the three of us out doing this instead of everyone else here.
All right. Yay, go ahead and spend that XP then.
Done.
Here you go.
Yeah, All right. I would say that Zuchi would actually like try to do it. So it'd be like he'd like point and it like wouldn't even be good. It would be like he's like pointing to the right, say like Smokey like pushes his arm like a little bit closer to it or whatever, you know, and he's like, okay. And then I was just like ba-dum, ba-ding, ba-dum, and like doesn't hit any, like maybe hits a tree off to the side and just explodes.
She's holding right. It sideways like they do in all the movies.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Right.
I look cool, guys, right?
Mr. Smokey, he's going for a kill shot.
And I think the way that would play out is, you know, it's three of us, right? So I think there is a bit of, you know, levity in it. And I guess that would also help, right? Because Huxley's been a bit, not paranoid is the wrong word, but right, he's a bit shaken up by what happened and seeing some other people around that were part of that mm-hmm. group or whatever. So anything to take his mind off of it, you know. So the, you know, Smokey will make sure it is a bit more jovial than, you know, I think we are being serious, right? And we're trying to do it, but also have, you know, some shits and giggles too. So,
right.
Dig it.
Nice. Yeah. So you're out there for, you know, we'll probably call it the better part of the day. You know, brought yourself some snacks, kind of just hanging out, practicing shooting.
Mr. Renegade gave us juice boxes.
I got a fruit punch Capri Sun.
Look, we got some fruit roll-ups. She makes them special.
she dehydrates them just all by herself.
And Smokey's being responsible. He's only had one beer when he came
out there. So yeah, you guys, you know, spend the better part of the day on the range shooting around. Come back, you know, when you start to lose a little bit of the light, you know, it's still sunny out, but you know, it's starting to set enough that it's starting to get kind of a reddish pink on the ground, and you know, probably time to call it quits. Are you gonna try to do anything else today, or are you kind of saving all, is this kind of your relaxation and decompression time, and you're gonna save all the business for tomorrow?
While we're walking back after, because I'm assuming we went a little bit further out, you know, while we're chatting, walking back, if we're reading the file that Marla gave us, because I gave it to the other two,
mm-hmm.
is there anything that jumps out at us? Right. I wanted all three of us, you know, I know Kurt was joking around about telling secrets, but, you know, Smokey wants to make sure that we're all looking at the same thing and seeing the same thing, or maybe mm-hmm. someone notices something the other one doesn't. Mm-hmm. You know, from Marla, who her contact is, you know, where it's at, all that, just to see if there's anything in that we need to discuss further, other than go find Joe and tell him to get us box 16 kind of thing.
Sounds good. Yeah. So when you open up the file, the first thing you see is literally just GPS coordinates.
Okay.
It's not even like a location. It doesn't tell you like, hey, go to like the Ames warehouse or anything like that. It's literally like a pinpoint GPS location.
Okay.
The second line says B18. The third one is a series of three numbers. So it's 17, 8, 24. And then the last one is just a string of about a dozen or so random letters and numbers.
Okay. So Huxley, if we're getting just GPS coordinates and not any kind of more detailed location. I'm assuming this is just something we got to go pick up and bring back.
What do you think? Is that something that I could research on my phone? Like plug in those coordinates and then like throw the layers on the map and see like if that's a building, if it is, what building is it? Like, do I know?
Well, so that, so if you punch in the GPS location, you will get a point on the map, but as far as you can tell, it's just kind of like a blank spot in the middle of nowhere.
Okay. Can I make a brains roll to see what I might know about Tazen?
Sure. Go ahead.
The only reason I would even ask it is because he's a, you know, a book guide nerd, you know, like knowledge guy. So like if Smokey said that that's what it was, then he would immediately like, you know, look to see sort of like what information, not that he would necessarily intrinsically know, but like, oh, you know, Tazen, what is, how far is it? What's, you know, what are they known for? Like just like general info, I guess.
See if see if that blank spot's known as the kill zone. Walking into, into the kill box.
Yeah, go ahead. We'll do this as a graduated, but I will tell you, in order to get any decent information, you'll need to roll probably like above a 4.
Okay. I don't have anything to answer.
So you'll get information regardless, but any good information is going to require a higher roll.
Right. One of those is a 6. 6, 5, 2.
Perfect. Excellent. yeah. So you know you like to be prepared, right? So you kind of one of the things that you find I think perhaps it actually kind of piqued your curiosity a little bit when you saw missions going to Tazen and you heard about people mentioning it, but there's nothing in the official organization records about it.
Okay.
Which caused you to kind of dig into it a little more, you know, curiosity and all that. Mm-hmm. So it is, in fact, it is a null zone. So it is a null. It's pretty small, somewhat new on the kind of the timeline of events. The reason that there's no organization information there is that the organization has no presence inside Tazen. However, one of the things that you do see kind of regularly going in and out is you see a lot of, you know, just from people's from kind of records that you've seen, you gather that there's a lot of medical equipment and machinery that kind of goes in and out of that location. What exactly they do and what they need it for and why they're how they're able to export this stuff, you're not exactly sure, but you know, that's kind of the stuff that seems to be traded with that location.
So he just like kind of low whistles and says, there's nothing in the official record about this place. The organization doesn't have a presence there. It might not be real safe, Mr. Smokey. But they do have medical equipment and machinery, it seems like, that they maybe trade in. So that, I mean, maybe we could bring something back. I'd have to check with Mr. Joanna to see if we needed anything.
The GPS coordinates, how that we have in the file, is it in Tazen or is it outside of Tazen?
The coordinates that you have, as far as Huxley can tell, overlay with where Tazen should be.
Okay, so it's not like it's, you know, 5 miles south of Tazen. You know, it's not on the outskirts.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Actually part of Tazen. I don't know, Zachi, do we want to ask Miss Joanna if she needs anything, or I think Smokey's just, he's not afraid of Miss Joanna, right?
No, I'm not. You are.
I think he's just thinking, right? She's already wound up is the wrong way. You know, she was already a bit upset about Huxley going out. I think if Huxley goes and talks to her and says, hey, I'm doing another run, do you need anything? And something does happen, right? Then it's that, you know, that, you know, he went out to get something for me, you know, that kind of thing. So I think Smokey would tell Huxley, let's not worry about Miss Joanna. She seems to have everything she needs. She helped out Zucchi and I a bit. So I think she's got all the equipment and stuff that she could need at the moment. How about if we do go out and find something, how about you bring it back as a surprise? I think maybe she would like that more than sending us out to get something. Let's see what we can find for her and bring it back.
Oh, that would be cool. Then like a present. Then she wouldn't be so mad.
I think she's always going to be mad each time you go out, Huxley, but it's always nice to bring some stuff home for your mom.
Okay.
So I think from this information, well, you know, this obviously we're doing the walk and talk, right? So we're walking back. Mm-hmm. I think maybe then with this information, let's just focus on doing this. It's not like we're going to have another job coming back from Tizane other than what we're picking up from Marla. So I think if we just focus on this and not take on any other jobs at the moment, you know, we do have a bit of rep in our pocket. So it's not like we haven't completed a job already. So let's maybe make this the focus of our run other than looping something else on top of it. Sorry, I just got the hiccups. Kevin did not smoke.
You just have to hold your breath, Mr. Smokey.
It was only one beer too, somehow. So I think from Smokey's standpoint, having that talk, working that out, I don't think he would be planning on doing anything else. He wouldn't go back to the bar, right? In case it all does go a bit weird and those people are still there. I think Smokey would rather have something in hand to go back and talk to Marla with. I left them with a drink. Let them be the ones that are questioning and looking over their shoulder and wondering what the heck's going on, other than just the three of us. So he'll lay low and just head back to the barracks.
Does something like this exist? Or we could make it up on the spot since it's a playtest. When we shot that guy, or Zucchi stabbed the shit out of him, and I tried to help him, I'd take his helmet off, but then it exposed him to all the radiation. So I think we might have talked about it off air. Is there something like a small two-man tent that's like its own like little mini scrub, right? So like maybe it's got some sort of, you know, filtration system so you could get someone in and out of a suit. Not completely out of a suit, but be able to get somebody in and work on them without exposing them to the elements?
Let's see.
I don't think there's anything
Well, there wasn't until you brought that up.
Oh, okay.
And then I made one. So, yes. So there actually is, there is now a shielded tent.
Okay.
So basically the base tent does have a +3 shield rate. So it's a cost of 2.
Oh, I don't have that. Okay.
Oh, real. All right. Yeah. So it's a cost of 2 for at its base, and it does provide a +3 shield rating. However, you can basically add like filters and additional shield and like swap out the shielding on it. To increase the protection of it. Okay. But yeah, it does that doing that does increase the cost of it. But yeah, that is one way where, you know, basically on longer runs, you can set this up, go in, take your actually get out of your suit so mm-hmm. that you're not running the power on that and draining the power over time.
Right.
So it is a way to kind of set that up and actually rest.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
While okay. on a run.
On a longer run, can you also like set the suit to minimum power?
Right, yeah, so I mean, if you
drain, like
yeah, as long in, like you can theoretically go to like basic life support effectively, right? You know, so if your say your filter does require drain and things like that, obviously it's going to need power in order to run, but you know, you could turn literally everything off on your suit and just sleep in your suit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
which a lot so of you won't be going
anywhere.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay. All right. Good to know. I seed the floor.
So we're turning in for the night before we do this run then, or do this side quest or whatever?
I feel like, yeah, we wouldn't go at night necessarily, I wouldn't think.
Okay. So Zuchi's got some pent up energy to just kind of get rid of, basically. Also, I have some XP to spend, so I thought this would be a good place to do that. So I think what I would do is, if it's okay with you, Jesse, I think I would find an area, I'm sure they would have this, where you could do some like hand-to-hand combat kind of stuff with other people to just kind of build your skill up and stuff like that.
Oh yeah.
So I think that's what we'll do.
Yeah, we'll say there's not actually a part of the organization that does it, but there is a gym a couple blocks away from the building where a lot of runners do hang out who, you know, basic physical training, things like that. But they also do have, you know, a lot of, you know, mixed martial arts stuff and they're, you know, boxing and things like that as well. So,
okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. So I think he would do that. He would try to find somebody. Actually, if I see anybody that has the LLI on their sleeve, maybe mm-hmm. I would approach one of them to have a little fun sparring match with.
Great minds. Yeah. You actually, while you're there, you actually do see a rather tall woman, and she's basically just there and with, you know, sweatpants and a sports bra. Her hair, you know, she has like this kind of dirty blonde hair pulled back in a ponytail, and on her left side is basically like her top from her shoulder to her elbow is just all scar tissue. But she, I don't know how painful this was for her, but she also has this very intricate lily flower tattoo over the scar tissue as well. That was very clearly done afterwards.
Mm.
And, you know, so you see her kind of going at it on a heavy bag. And as you're kind of glancing around, you know, she goes to, as she finishes up her routine and goes over to her bag. And as she like goes to reach for her towel, she moves her jacket out of the way and you see that patch sewn into the sleeve.
Okay. Yeah. So usually when he trains, he's just sweatpants and nothing else. And so he's got like a pair of like light purple pants that he's got like bunched up. They're pulled up a little bit on his ankles or above his ankles or whatever, and he kind of strides over and he says, "Excuse me, I was wondering, we'd like to do some sparring."
And she kind of finishes wiping her forehead and looks at you, and she goes, "Yeah, why not? It's these sorry assholes don't often like fighting with me, so it's not often that somebody will actually step up." Yeah, fuck it, let's go. And she'll kind of like, and as she starts to walk up, she kind of grabs a pair of just like the small padded gloves, and she grabs one pair, she grabs another, and she like just nods. She like kind of tilts her head a little bit and and gestures them out to you.
And he like kind of like puts his hand down. And he's like, if you don't mind, I don't think we'll need these.
She smiles at that. And she's like, I think I'm going to like this. She throws him down and jumps herself up into the ring. So yeah, the one of the trainers comes over and he's like, all right, two of you, don't fuck each other up, all right?
I promise.
She looks at him and goes, maybe. And yeah, so he goes, ding ding. Let's break it into a couple of frames here.
Nice.
All right, so yeah, she immediately she kind of squares up. She's a little bouncy on her feet, but overall stays pretty rooted.
Gotcha. He actually will wait for her to make the first move because he is all about flow and reaction. So he's going to wait for her to make the first move, and then he's going to try to counter.
Nice. I like that. All right. So, yeah, she wastes almost no time. You know, so you two walk to the center of the ring. She does put her fist out, you know, kind of holds it there for a second.
Yeah, he'll definitely beat that.
There you go. As soon as you do, she has her right hand out. You tap it. As soon as you do, she comes out with a left hook. All right. Yeah. So immediately she just swings around with a left hook. How are you going to react?
So like I said, he'll react to her coming at him. So what he's going to do is one of his favorite things is to, even though this is kind of a weird saying to say at these times, flow like water. So basically what he's going to do is he's going to just kind of, instead of like backing up, he's going to kind of almost just kind of like melt down to his right when she hooks. Is she left-handed or right-handed? Actually, let's say that first.
You know what? You saw her kind of like shadow box quickly, and you saw her at the punching bag. So why don't you go ahead real quick and give me a brains roll?
Okay.
And give me a brains, but go ahead and add any like martial arts training or anything you have to it.
Okay. That is a 5. Or actually, no, that'd be a 6. A 6 with 6? The plus 1.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. We'll give you a yes and. So, yes, she actually is a southpaw. She's a lefty.
Okay.
And.
Okay. Yeah, and yeah, so he would take that into consideration when trying to dodge.
Nice. Yeah, so what I'll do is I'll actually give you, when you roll, I'll give you an extra plus 1 on your roll.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah, go ahead and roll me counter.
Okay. That is a 6 with the plus 2.
Oh, beautiful. Okay. So that is going to be against her 8. For her punch. I roll the 6 and then she has plus 2.
Nice.
Is that also including your training? Your skill?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So you kind of see it coming, right? You think you're prepared for it, but she ends up kind of getting that just a little too fast. What you're not expecting, so you dodge that punch. What you aren't expecting is her right knee to then come up and catch you right in the side of the ribs as you kind of try to back up a little bit. So that is going to be 1 harm of health. Okay. And we'll also say that it's going to kind of give you a twinge on your side, so you're going to take a negative 1 to your next action.
Okay.
All right. What are you going to do next?
So she's
thrown the left. You dodge that, but she brings that knee up and strikes you right on the side.
Yep. So I'm just going to, you said the side of my face, right?
No, your ribs.
My ribs, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically he'll just kind of like rub his side a little bit and he'll be like, all right, right on. You know, and then he'll square up and then he's going to pretend like he's going to throw a left jab at her face. And then he's going to deke it and he's actually going to sweep her legs.
Nice. All right.
Sweep the leg.
Mm-hmm. Sweep the leg, Johnny. All right.
There you go. And so, yeah, as you throw the left, she actually goes for the block and then tries to follow up with a body shot on you.
Okay.
And I have a 7.
Ugh. All right. This is going well. I have a 5.
Yep. So you end up going for the sweep, but she kind of sees it coming. So she brings the leg up a little bit and kind of shoves your leg away, blocking for it, and just successfully connects, hitting you in that same spot where the knee had hit before. And I'm just going to go ahead and do 2 straight damage, 2 harm of health on that.
That's going to leave a mark.
Yep. Plus, I am at 0 for that.
Oh, there you go. So at that point, you know, when she lands that second hit on you, you drop to a knee at that point.
Yeah, I probably spit up some blood on the mat or whatever.
Right. And yeah, at that point, the trainer will go, Mara, ding, ding. Let's fucking come on.
Zuchi will kind of hold out a hand. He's like, I'm not quite done yet, sir.
And he's like, I don't want anybody dead in my gym. Thank you. Said, God damn it, Mara. This is why I don't let you. This is why I don't let you let you spar with anybody. And she kind of shrugs at you, shrugs a little bit. She'll reach her hand out to you at that point.
Yeah, he won't show it, but he's pissed that he came here to, you know, show himself what he could do. And the fact that he couldn't do anything, it has nothing to do with her. It has everything to do with him. So he's just mad at himself. But he still holds out a hand and he grimaces as she pulls him up because he's got to use his ribs to, you know, use those muscles or whatever. God, what would he say?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am.
You're quite a mighty fighter. I'm very humbled.
Hey, you know what? You put up a pretty good fight yourself. I don't often get to go at it like that. It was nice to be able to kind of, you know, not hold back for a change. So I appreciate it. And hey, you weren't too bad yourself either.
I don't know if I'd agree with you there, but I appreciate it all none the same.
No, it's, you know what, you, and she's like, you telegraph you telegraph your kicks just a little too much.
And so,
I could see you dig in and your hips kind of moved a little too soon.
Yeah. And it, like, she doesn't realize that she's like making him go more down the rabbit hole of depression the more she talks about how terrible he is. Or what the bad things that he's doing. So he's just like, he's like, all right, well, good to know that whoever hires you is well worth their money. You're well worth the money.
No, trust me, I am.
All right, well.
And yeah.
Go ahead.
You know what? And she kind of looks over to the trainer and she's like, Rusty, give him a nice bath. Put it on me, okay? You can, you know, when you're feeling like you're done with your training, go ahead into the back room. You can rest up. It's going to, you know, take care of some of the soreness.
He's like, oh, don't worry. I'm done. and he like points at the tray or whatever. He's like, yep, you know, wherever you need to get me to go, I'm going.
So, yeah, they'll point you into the back room where it's basically like the locker rooms and there's basically just like a, you know, for all intents and purposes, an ice bath back there. But they have it like super cooled with liquid nitrogen so that obviously not inside the tub, but like on the outside, like through piped through just to keep it extra cold.
Yeah, so he probably just sinks in it, and it's just the cold doesn't bother him. It's just the pain that's bothering him. So once the cold hits his ribs, he's just kind of like, go, oh, I tell you, boy, I guess I got some learning to do.
And after you're sitting in there for a few minutes, Mara will actually walk in, and she says, "You showed balls back there. I appreciate it. Tell you what. If you're ever looking for a job or you just kind of need someone to hang out with," and she pulls out of her bag, pulls out a little card, and she goes, "Look us up." And she'll kind of throw that on the ground next to you. Yeah.
And he'll just kind of salute her a little bit, and he'll be like, "Sounds like a pleasure."
Yeah. And she'll kind of just give you a little head nod and then turn and start to walk to the other side of the locker rooms, and then she'll pass through a door and take off. Okay. Yeah. Zuchi is resting up. So we'll say resting in there long enough, you'll be able to get your between that and the rest you have tonight, you'll be able to get the rest of your points back.
Yeah, because he'll probably go to bed earlier than he normally would, because he would be training late.
Right.
Learn from your mistakes.
Nice. So was it as fast as that, or did they spar for like an hour and like that's like the best shots that she had on him?
Oh no, that was literally it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it was literally like fist bump and then immediately left hook into the knee, and then following that right up with a body shot, and he is down. It was like an 8-second fight.
Yeah, but the last thing that Zuchi says, he kind of like giggles to himself before he goes to sleep. He goes, "Maybe I should have Huxley teach me how to shoot."
I did get lucky. I rolled a 6 and a 5.
So. I knew as soon as you rolled that first roll, I was like, I am doomed from the start.
You'll get her next time.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Yeah. All right. So you guys rest up for the night with the hopes of heading into Sturbridge on your way to Zane. Next session, before you head out, if you want to go ahead and collect intel and things like that, do any research, we'll just do that at the beginning of the session before you guys head out on the run. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
Awesome. Yeah, and at that point, too, I'll give you the rundown of, like, the burnt and, you know, all of the zones and all that kind of stuff as well.
Okay. Cool. Were you keeping track of XP or no?
I was indeed.
Okay,
cool. So I we do. Have not, yeah, not a ton for the session, but we have Huxley at 1, Zuchi at 3, and Smokey at 2.
Okay.
Good deal.
Question, just because yes. I like to ask. So is as far as the, you know, what we did as far as the story goes and me doing that fight. So, you know, it's kind of like one of those conversations I think that we have on different role playing games that we have. Like, even though I failed, do I still spend those experience points to up that skill? Or because I failed, you know, do we count that as not being successful?
Oh, no. In fact, so first off, yes, spend the XP. Like, that's more of a just like an RP thing to back up XP expenditure. Mm-hmm. Like, it's even for the future, not even a necessity. It's just, it's fun. But anytime you're like, hey, like off camera, I did some training, or, you know, we can do a quick character scene where you're like, hey, I did this like a few days ago. I picked up a book and I learned this thing, and that's how I spend my XP. Cool. There we go.
Okay.
But I'll say one of my favorite games, Mouse Guard, that is part of the Burning Wheel system. In order to upgrade in a skill, you actually have to fail a certain amount of times. So you have to fail. So say in order to upgrade a skill to like level 4, you actually have to both succeed but also fail a number of times before you can upgrade the skill, because you don't necessarily learn through success. You learn through failure, and that's how you get better. So the fact that Zuchi actually lost that fight gives almost more reason for why he is now a little bit better, because he's learned from his mistakes and he's learned how to improve.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree as well. I just thought I would just kind of throw that out there just in case, like, in when it comes to stuff like I would always like prefer 100% to do a character scene other than to be like, oh, I did a thing, now I got this experience, you know. I'd rather be like, right, this is why I have it now, you know, like a,
yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
Makes sense.
There we go. All right, go ahead, sign us off, John.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks for checking it out. Hope you enjoy it. This has been a fun campaign so far. We have our Patreon up. If you want to throw a couple of rep our way. I don't know what the hell game we're playing. If not, that's fine. We're playing games anyway. Ratings and reviews on iTunes, whatever your podcatcher of choice is. Super helpful. I guess nobody ever says anything, so I don't. It's probably helpful. I don't know. Whatever. There's links in the show notes for the core products that are available. There's a link for that stuff as well. I'm sort of working on Cthulhu, sort of, whatever. And Kurt and I are both working on Noor, kind of, maybe. You don't really need it. It's fine. We'll probably do something. I don't know. Who can say? That's a future problem. That's a future us problem.
If you wanna hear about the Core Noir game, though, head on over to MFGCast.
There you go. Nice pickup. There you go. Yeah. Hey, you should sign us out, maybe. You're on all the freaking games all the time. Just abdicate all this responsibility. All right. Thanks, everybody, for checking it out. And we'll catch you next time.
Peace. This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.